Berg, I was a little worried about Berg. We've got him now. Where were you? What's up with this lateness here, Berg? What's up?
I was on the phone with somebody that I couldn't hang up on. I text you.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just told everybody that I hadn't heard from you, so I lied to what would be the proper phrase here? I lied, Berg, about you to fit my narrative. How about that?
Right. There you go. You got all the buzzwords of 2018, 2019.
That's right. Okay, so I'm assuming the reason why you're late is you were talking to somebody who I'm sure you want to remain anonymous about how Manny Diaz is doing so well that Florida and Florida State are going to quit football. Is that right?
I was talking to somebody that would definitely has an interest in how Manny Diaz is doing at Miami. Yeah.
So look, Manny's been there, 12 hours? And I got to tell you now, and you're in Florida, you're in Tampa, but I've heard from a lot of Miami fans this morning, they've got a little energy injected in them right now. They're happy.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? Of course you would. Everything that went down the way that it did, I was sleeping. I go to bed at like 10 o'clock, Bill, so I was gone. I woke up this morning at 6 a.m. and saw all the news on Twitter, and I think I laid in bed for about a half hour just scrolling through, seeing what all happened last night. So, yeah, of course, why wouldn't you be happy? You have, the 40th-ranked recruiting class in the country. The team looked to be in shambles just a day or two before Manny was hired, and now he's bringing in impact transfers and bringing back Jeff Thomas, the most explosive player on their team last year. If I'm a Miami fan, I'm looking to be excited. This is the time to do it.
Now,
season's around the corner.
Yeah. Now, between now and February, which is not very far off, right? I mean, can he turn some names in recruiting?
No.
It's too late for that.
There's just not a lot of names out there to be had. It's not even about Miami sucks and they can't recruit. It's just there's not that kind of firepower that's going to bring them from, I don't know, I said 40, I don't know, they're say 35, 33, somewhere in that range. They're not going to go from there to the top 20. There's just not enough stars out there right now and available. So I don't see a huge swing between now and signing day. We spoke about this on the Big Three Roll-Up about how this has nothing to do with Manny and the way Manny can recruit. He was handcuffed because a lot of times when there's coaching change, it happens in the last weekend in November, it happens in early December, and even though that's very late in the process, you still have two and a half weeks to be a madman and hit the recruiting trail and see what you can salvage. Manny was hired after early signing period, so he didn't get that bump of new coach on the road and all that. So this is kind of like their recruiting momentum, their bump after a coaching change.
I was talking about this earlier. I don't know what all this means on the field because he's never been a head coach. But
do you like the acquisition of Tate Martell? I mean, do you?
I'm not a big fan. I thought that the recruiting services Rivals 24/7 reach giving him a 5-star. I had no idea where that came from. So am I a fan of where he was ranked? Absolutely not.
Yeah, and I also think, well, beyond that, I mean, I think he was a highly, highly productive player. And we've seen what guys like Kyler Murray and even the kid at Texas State, Johnny Manziel, can do with that frame. But, you know, Miami's known as they don't take crap from nobody and they're the U. And, I mean, Martell was on – he picked Ohio State. He told Justin Fields, don't come here. You're not going to win the job.
Right.
He tried to scare him off, and Justin Fields doesn't listen to him, goes there, and he immediately leaves.
Correct. That's not Miami. That ain't bad A double dollar sign Miami, is it?
Yeah, that's not the you would back Miami. This reeks of fool's gold. I mean, I would be excited too if I'm a Canes fan. Don't get me wrong. I would be if I'm a fan. But looking at it from an outside perspective – this and having followed the Miami Hurricanes and been a fan of what they do in terms of their attitude and all that, I just don't think this fits. This is weird. In the way that all Miami fans are just acting like, you know, this kid didn't bail on Ohio State because Justin Fields walked in the door. They're just ignoring that. It's kind of weird.
Now their offensive coordinator is Dan Enos. And Dan Enos is a Jalen Hurts guy. Dan Enos and Jalen Hurts are very close.
Yeah, I think they get Jalen Hurts. I don't think this is over yet.
Because, now somebody, well, actually, your best friend Karen tweeted that Tate Martell is going to actually graduate in the spring, so he could be eligible. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't think so, but and the reason I think they're going to go after, I know they're still going after Jalen Hurts. So
sure, absolutely.
If they believed Martell was going to be eligible, I don't think they'd still be pursuing Jalen Hurts. You never know what the NCAA is going to do. I would not, you know, ever go out on a limb and guess what the NCAA will do. And I'm sure they'll apply for a waiver. So nobody knows. The waiver hasn't been applied for. You know, nobody really knows. You're saying he's going to graduate and transfer. I don't think that's going to happen. I talked to a source yesterday that told me that, and this was before the Martell stuff went down, that Jalen Hurts was still going to be recruited, whether or not they got Martell.
Right.
So I believe that they're not anticipating Martell. You always hear this with every transfer, right? You always hear as soon as he transfers, well, there's going to be this, maybe, and then it doesn't happen.
Right.
So we'll see, though.
Josh Newberg with us 24/7 Sports.
But what do you think about that, though? The Jalen Hurts to bump and then go into Tate Martell.
I assume Martell transfers. What's he said?
Yeah, you're really turning over your QB room if you bring in Jalen Hurts, right? Because you're essentially saying to those other quarterbacks on the roster, like, hey, we're going to bring Hurts in as a stopgap for 1 year, and then we're going Tate Martell all the way.
Correct. Yep.
That's a lot of turnover.
Manny Diaz in Miami. Anyways, but what's going on at Florida State? Anything good?
We don't need to talk about that, Bill. I was going to talk about maybe Kentucky picking up Jaren Williams and, you know, the domino effect and how, I don't know.
I hear you.
They're recruiting, Bill. They're out there.
How about Brandon Wimbush? Now, why would Wimbush go to UCF when McKenzie Milton, he had a just awful leg injury, so we know that. But if he's right, I mean, Wimbush isn't better than him.
You think he's going to be right?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, unfortunately, I don't know.
It was a horrible.
When is right? You know, I mean, Wimbush can come in and play next year, and you know, we'll see. But we'll see. He's got a lot of McKenzie's got a lot to overcome. I know some people that know him, and it's just right now, it's just about, you know, getting back to normal life. And then seeing where football fits in from there. So I think
it was that kind of Berg. It was that kind of injury. It was so bad that you just want to kind of walk first, right?
Yeah, it's like, let's make sure my leg works, and then we'll worry about football later. I don't think I think that's the way they're approaching it, from what I've been told. Hopefully, we see him back on the football field, but you never know. And then if Wimbush can come in and get an opportunity, I mean, there's a reason why they're bringing him in. He brings a lot to the table, both running and passing, and probably would have been a better fit at that level coming out. But here we are, you know, way the QB ball bounces.
Let me go bigger picture with you. Taking a look at Clemson and then the rest of the ACC, how far out in front is Clemson on the rest of the league?
They're a great quarterback length in front. And that's the difference. They just I know there's a lot more to it, and they've recruited really well, but the biggest talent gap is at quarterback. And it has been for a while at Clemson, even when they had Kelly Bryant. You know, I venture to say Kelly Bryant was even, you know, a better quarterback than what FSU was putting on the field at the same time. So I think the rest of the field is going to be chasing for a couple years, as long as they still have this outstanding quarterback play.
What about Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee? You think they'll win the Natty next year with him?
I think so. If you're asking me, I've always believed it was going to be year two for Jeremy.
Did you get to know him at all when he was down there at Florida State?
I've gotten to know Jeremy. So people hate the fact that I come on here and I just gush about Jeremy Pruitt on your show. I got to know Jeremy really, really well and understand like kind of what makes him tick. And
because hey Berg, I'm not trying to be rude, but let me just interject. He's considered a red A double dollar sign guy. So you getting to know him, I don't know that many people actually get close with him, do they?
I don't know. I think I kept it kind of real with him and told him a few things that off the jump, and we just always had a really good relationship. And just real quick, one of the things that stands out to me about Jeremy Pruitt was even back in 2013, he was so focused on his goals of becoming a head coach. He was so organized. Even back then, he had a two deep of assistant coaching hires that he would make as soon as he got a job. And I'll tell you this, back in 2013, when we went over this list dozens and dozens of times, I'd say about 80% of the names that he was giving me that were his first choices are on that Tennessee staff right now.
Like, so you guys would discuss his two deep coaching chart.
Oh yeah, and we discuss coaching all the time. I mean, he had this like pit bull mentality of like he felt even in 2013 like he felt he should be a head coach already at a premier school. He just had this. It was just the way that he envisioned it. And and I would even tell him, like, Jeremy, that's not how this works. Like, you're just now becoming a DC. You got to be mentioned for jobs. You got to go interview for jobs. And then eventually you're going to get hired for one. Like, and he'd be like, nah. He's like, I could be a head coach right now. I know it. I should be. I'm behind.
Wow.
So he was always driven. He works hard. I never doubt anybody that works as hard as he does and is as organized as he is.
Now, he's kind of got he's not, at least with a mic in his face, he's not a good communicator per se. He's gotten better. So I ask you, what makes him so good in recruiting?
He listens. I think one of the things that Pruitt does with that slow Southern drawl and being real quiet is people don't assume that he's listening to everything that everybody's saying.
Right.
And he just sits there and kind of takes it all in, and people take for granted how smart he is because of that Southern drawl and his slow tone and all that kind of stuff. And people don't understand that about him. He's always thinking, he's always calculating his next move. And I think when it comes to recruiting, just like with Nick, I mean, I'm not going to say Pruitt's on that level yet, but there's going to be kids that do not relate to Coach Pruitt, do not buy in, you know, kids that want to come to a program and have fun during their college years. That's not really what Jeremy Pruitt's going to give off when he's recruiting you. And he's going to get guys that fit his program at the end of the day. But he ain't going to get everybody because not everybody's going to want to play for him.
Josh Newberg with us, 24/7 Sports. Tell everybody what you have coming up on the Big Three Roll-Up podcast.
Big Three Roll-Up, we might get a second guest, but we got Larry Bluestein. He's locked into Florida recruiting, one of the best that's ever covered this state. He's going to be on the podcast this week. And just talking recruiting, a lot of recruiting.
And I've never met Larry Bluestein, but I see him on Twitter a lot. Is he the Tom Lemming of Florida? Or what? How would you equate him?
Well, yeah, I definitely think so. And when I got into the recruiting game in, like, 2005, he, for some reason, kind of took me under his wing, had me helping out at he was doing this site called FloridaKids.us and on the Scout Network. And he taught me a lot. I went to a lot of camps with Larry. Larry is great at his job because he shows up everywhere. He's not one of these guys that just writes from home. I mean, he is everywhere, practices, camps, combines, 7-on-7s, games. He has the respect of everybody in the state because he shows up at everything.
Berg, we'll see you next week.
All right. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Berg. Josh Newberg.